Okay. I would like for us this morning to take just a few minutes. I would like to try to refocus us. I feel like we've lost focus in what we're doing here. This class, what our purpose is to learn the book of Ephesians, and by learning how to study along with that. And so I want us to get back to the point of we're looking at Ephesians, and this is a different type of class in the fact that I want us to try to stay focused in the book of Ephesians, since we are trying to learn how to study a particular way by reading and marking and seeing particular things that are given. There's many passages that we could turn to and harmonize and all that, but for this class, I'm wanting us to focus more on learning to be able to read a context and determine what is being talked about in that context. What does Paul say in Ephesians 3:4? Just memorize that. Beside Justin.
And by referring to this, you might understand what is written.
Oh,
I know it.
I know you do.
When you read, you can understand about the mystery
of Christ. Okay, right. And he talks to them about what he's written beforehand, which I think is the first parts of the chapter. And so I want us to focus on, now we're the Ephesians and we've gotten this letter from Paul. You know, they weren't like we are today. They didn't have Colossians and Philippians and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John and 1st and 2nd Peter and Romans and the Acts. They didn't have all this in a book like we do. So we can split back and forth and find out what they were saying in one place or another and maybe learn more. As far as we know, at this point in time, all the Ephesians had was their letter. And Paul said, when you read this, you can understand. So that's what I'm wanting us to try to do, is to read Ephesians and understand what Paul was trying to tell the Ephesians about their salvation. And I wanted to compare this and maybe help us understand and focus better on what we're trying to mark. In chapter 1, verse 3, Paul tells them that God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. If we got a letter, we were in another country and we were wanting to come to America, and we got a letter saying that all of your rights and liberties are in citizenship. Now, and they go on to write us a letter, the person who sends us this letter, and they talk about the forefathers who died for this and what they sacrificed and what all has gone into giving us our rights and liberties and freedoms. But then we want to know what those are. And in this letter that has been written to us, interspersed with all of the other information, are the specific rights we have, the right to vote, the right to run for public office if you were born, and whatever goes with those rights, the right to bear arms. There are certain rights that we have because we are citizens of the United States. Our rights and liberties are in connection with being a citizen. And so we read through that letter and we want to know what these are. And so we start to mark just specifically what our rights and liberties are as a citizen of the United States. That being in connection with that and having that citizenship. And so that's what I'm trying to get us to focus to do, at least in this marking, and even in the other markings, they're very specific things that we're looking for. And I'm not here to tell you that my way's right and your way's wrong. What I'm just going to try to share with you what I have marked and see what else maybe you have marked that we can discuss and why maybe I don't feel like. But we're not going to spend a whole lot of time discussing, I've marked this and I feel like this is a good marking. If that's what works for you, then that's fine. But you need to keep it brief, because if you don't, you know, you can mark the whole thing. Like Justin mentioned, Christ is a blessing. But that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at the specific blessings that we have because we are in Christ. We're in connection. We have that connection with Christ. And these are the blessings that we had. Briefly, for those who were not here last week, I will just mention the ones that I have marked in chapter 1, and then we're going to move on to chapter 2. That is my mark. Where I marked, we stopped, was the beginning of chapter 2. I think that's correct. Okay, chapter 1, verse 4, we're chosen him. Also in chapter 1, verse 4, we're holy and blameless. Chapter 1, verse 5, he predestined us to adoption as sons. Chapter 1, verse 7, and also again in verse 14, we have redemption. Number 5, the fifth blessing that we have is forgiveness, and that's found in chapter 1, verse 7. We've had this mystery made known to us, chapter 1, verse 9. We have obtained an inheritance, chapter 1, verse 11, and also in verse 14. We have hope, chapter 1, verse 12, and verse 18. We have salvation, chapter 1, verse 13, and we'll also see this again. We'll mention it as we go through. But I do not have it listed as a separate blessing, but it's talked about again in chapter 2, verse 5, and also in verse 8. In chapter 1, verse 13, we are sealed in him. And chapter 1, verse 18, we are God's inheritance. And I think that's where we left off when we were talking about what a blessing it is to think that God considers us an inheritance. When you receive an inheritance, it's usually something that you consider precious or valuable. And for God to consider us his inheritance and that we are a special blessing and something that he considers precious, to me that is a great blessing that we have. Okay, let's start now in chapter 2. The first thing that I have marked is in verse 5, the 12th blessing. And I numbered these. I think altogether I found that we have, the way I marked it, we have 23 separate and distinct blessings that are in Christ. Yes, Justin?
I did one in chapter 2, verse 4, on that last loved us.
Okay, but the loving us, that is the attitude of God. That is not what we're marking here. That is a blessing, but we have a separate marking that we're going to look at that deals with the attitude of God, and that is an attitude of God. If you want to mark that, that's perfectly fine. But that's from the perspective I'm looking at it, that did not fit in the criteria that I was looking for. Okay. Even we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So there again, our salvation is mentioned. But to consider that we were dead, you know, when we're dead in sin, and that's what began back where? Where was the beginning of sin? Where did all that start? Back in Genesis. And so from the very beginning of time, man sins. And without Christ to make us alive again, we have no hope. Okay? And verse 6 is the next one. And I marked all of this in one as one blessing. Raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. To think that this is one of our great blessings, that we're going to be raised. We're going to live in heaven. We're going to be seated in the heavenly places. We're going to live where God lives. And that is a great blessing that we have, especially when we see the sin and the suffering and the death that is on this earth. And there are some days, more than others, that I think, what a wonderful place that will be when we hear of people like Sister Kirkwood who's suffering so greatly. You know, you're healthy one day, and then first thing you know, you're paralyzed in parts of your body. Glenroy deals with pain every day. I think so often how wonderful it's going to be for him to be pain-free. Because we are going to be raised up and seated in heavenly places. And there's not going to be any of that there. And so we need to concentrate on keeping our connection with Christ, because that is where we obtain these blessings. And that is what we need to dwell on, rather than getting caught up in the world and the politics and what's going on. We need to keep our focus, and if we keep focused on what we have in connection with Christ, even the life we have here will be so much better. The next one that I marked is in verse 8, but it was one we've already seen. It was salvation again, for by grace you have been saved. And if you go on and read down verse 10, it connects it back in Christ Jesus. Okay, the next one I have marked is in verse 14. Did anybody else mark something in verse 13?
What about 13?
I meant 13. I said 14, but I meant 13. Sorry. Go ahead. What do you have in 13?
You have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Okay.
I just brought near.
Okay. We were far away. And when you think about being far away from God, and then you're brought near, you're close. We can go to God in prayer. We have, how would it be if you knew that you had a hotline to the president? You could pick up the phone and you could call the president and you could tell him anything you wanted to tell him at any moment of the day. Wouldn't all of us like that? Got a few things I'd like to tell him. He wouldn't listen. But that's what we have with God. We've been brought near, and it's like we have a close connection with him. And so we have the privilege of being able to go to him as a friend because we are near. We've been brought near to him. And we have the privilege also as Gentiles, and that's what we're going to see that this great mystery is all about, is that we as Gentiles have this privilege. The Jews had a connection with God which they never really appreciated and never took advantage of. But now we've been brought near, so we have the blessings of being close to God and being in his presence and near him.
Pat,
yes?
What are your thoughts on verse 10? There is workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that we should walk in. Is that a blessing that we are his workmanship that he,
I see that as a result of the blessings. We become his workmanship. I did not mark that. If you choose to, that's fine.
That's why I'm asking.
I did not. That could be seen as one, and so if that's, how you choose to mark it, that's fine. That's just not one that I marked.
It's just like his special possession again. That workmanship. And I just wondered, what your thoughts are.
Well, that's a possibility, and I'm not trying to sit here and tell you that I've got everyone that could be considered, and that I got even the ones that I marked. I'm not going to tell you I got all of them right. This is something. What this is all designed for is for us to read and reread and reread and try to understand what Paul tells them in 3:4. When you read, you can understand, and so when. If I do nothing, if I accomplish nothing in this class but to get you in the habit of picking a book occasionally or even on a regular basis and say, I want to know more about this book and I'm going to read. And what I do when I start this is I don't start out just marking. I normally start out, we gave you a list of things to look for to mark. But when you pick up a book fresh, you may have no idea. And so you start just reading, and you jot down words and phrases that you see reoccurring. And then you go and you mark those. And if you need copies, if you don't have a Bible program, that you can get it on the Internet. Did that work, Blue? Whatever, Steve?
It worked, but it was not as well laid out as your text.
You just sent the email of
Ecclesiastes.
No. Stephen asked. Oh, he didn't. I thought Stephen sent. He gave you the link. He told you that day we were there.
Yeah, but I don't remember. I didn't
write it down.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't send it to me. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, he sent it to Deanna, though, and she went and tried. Well, a lot of that, Deanna, is because he copied that. There's a thing you can put and copy, and then you drop it into a Word document. We use Pages, but you can drop that into a Word document, and then you can format it however you want. Steve, when he dropped this. He did the one for Ephesians back a long time ago. Actually, he did it in two columns, and I told him I wanted it in one, and so he redid it for me. But you can format it however you want it in your Word documents. But if there's ever a book that you want to study and you can't find something that you can print out to mark on, call. I'll be glad to work it up and give you a copy, and then you can bring it down here to the building, and you can copy that as many times as you want. Just always keep you a clean one so you can bring it back and recopy. But if we do nothing but get you to start doing this, because you can understand you don't have to depend on your husbands, you don't have to depend on the elders, you don't have to depend on the preacher. There are things that we We have to learn for ourselves. You can hear a sermon over and over, and you may pick up some things that you remember, and that, just like the plan of salvation, we can all do that. But there are other things that, and we learn that by rote, but there are some things that we need to learn for ourselves and learn how to study for ourselves so we do not have to depend. So our salvation doesn't depend on what somebody else has told us. Okay, I digress. Sorry. The next one that I have marked is in verse 14. And this one was I wasn't sure about 14, but I know in 17 that it is definitely. I think in verse 14 it says Christ is our peace. But we do have peace, and it is in Him. And then verse 15, again, peace is mentioned. So we go through life and we have so many worries and we have so many struggles and we have so many trials. But we can have peace. We don't have to have turmoil all the time. No matter what's going on, we have the peace and the comfort that someday when this life is over, we have a better place. There's a better place to go to, and it's because of Christ. Yes, ma'am?
Okay. Before she uses this chart, that the barrier between Jew and
Gentile. Well, Christ is the one who broke down that barrier. But
so broke down the barrier.
I did not mark that as a blessing. That is something that you could consider a blessing, yes. But like I say, there's so many things in here. I'm just trying to pick out the specific blessings that to me that relate to me in Christ that I have. But that is, you could mark that. But I marked peace in verse 14 and peace again in verse 15. And peace we will also see again in verse 17. I marked it, but when you go back and read it, He is our peace. He is the one who gives us peace. It is in connection with Him that we have this peace, and that's why I marked it, because He Himself is our peace. But it is in, we have peace in Him because we are in Him, and He Himself is our peace. To me, is just a way of stating that we have peace, and it's because of Him. There may be some different discussion on that, but that was why I marked it. Yes, yes. And that in Him, verse 15 says that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. So that was why I marked all of the pieces through this three or four verses here. The next thing that I had marked is in verse 16. Anybody? What's something number 16? Reconciled. Yes. We're reconciled. That in Him, and might, again it said, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both into one body. So we're reconciled. We're in these two groups that have been reconciled. If Christ hadn't come and we're not in Christ, we're not going to have the reconciliation that He came to bring. Justin, did you have something you wanted to ask me?
What about the one new man in verse 15? Would you want that as a blessing? And also the one body that you just went over in verse 16?
No, I did not mark those. I did not. Because to me, those are not in the same category as what I'm looking for. That doesn't mean that I'm right or wrong. You can choose to mark them if you wish. Okay, and then, so did anybody have any comment on the reconcile? Okay. And then verse 17 again, twice He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. So He is the one who brings this peace. He's the one who came. And those who are far away and those who are near, who is that? Since we're trying to learn what the book of Ephesians means. Jew and the Gentile. That's right. Okay, the next one that I marked was in verse 18. Does anyone have anything marked in verse 18?
Access.
Okay. We have access in one spirit to the Father. So yes, we have the access that we have is through Him. And there, here again, what a great blessing. We have access to God. We have access to the throne of God. We have access, it says, in one spirit to the Father. And I think what a lot of this To me, what this is referring to is the knowledge that we have, the knowledge that was brought about by the Spirit. It says access in one Spirit to the Father. What did the Spirit do in our salvation? He confirmed the Word through the apostles and gave the apostles the words to write down to us, didn't he? And so when we think we have, so we're not only now have access, this is some of the things I think when we talk about God in some of these passages, and we talked about this a little bit last week. When we think about this, we have access in one Spirit to the Father. What does that mean? We have access to God. We have access to all three. We have access to everyone in Christ Jesus. And so how important does not this over and over and over? And did anybody happen to count how many times the in Christ phrases occurred? Or the in chapters 1 through 3, I counted 39 times that this in Christ or through Christ or by Christ.
It was right at 50. Well, it said, you said that it was 50 or more.
Mm-hmm.
And I came close.
Well, you know, I counted and I counted and I kept changing the number.
Well,
and then there is 24 in the last part, but they're in a different connection. It's some of the responsibilities we have because we're in Christ. But it's over and over. It's on every page several times that these are in connection with Christ that we have. You know, if you think, if your access to your money is through a certain key, are you going to hang on to that key? You're not going to lose that, are you? If you know that every dime you ever own is in this box and you have to have this key to get to it, that's your only access, you're going to be sure that you keep up with that, aren't you? And that you're going to stay connected to that. We have access. Our access to the Father and to the blessings that we have that we're talking about are through Christ. Doesn't that give us, shouldn't that give us great urgency in not only learning God's Word, but in trying to spread God's Word and praying to God, and realize that we have a great treasure here, but it is in Christ, and we have to do what Christ says. As we're gonna, when we get to chapters 4 through 6, now it's all lovely and roses. We're telling what blessings we have and what wonderful gifts we've been given. But when we get to chapter 4 and verse 6, we're going to see what we have to do to have these and to keep them. We don't keep them just because we get. You know, God loved us so much, He just gave them to us. There's some connection attached. Toy?
Well, that's why He died for us.
That's right. That's why He died for us.
No one comes to the Father except through me, He says.
That's right. And so we need to be sure that we keep in contact with this access, and that we remember that it's through Him. Verse 19, I marked fellow citizens. You know, we were strangers and aliens, but now we're not. We're fellow citizens. And we're of God's household. That's the two things I marked in verse 19. We now are, you know, to become a citizen of this country, there's a lot you have to go through and do, a lot of requirements to even get into the country. Before you can even get into the country, there's a lot of things you have to do. And then once you get here, if you want to become a citizen, there's a lot of other things you have to do. God has made it so easy for us to become fellow citizens with the saints and become one of God's household. And so there is, this is a great blessing. How wonderful, how would it be to be accepted in, to go to the king and be in a country like England, and the queen just says, okay, you're going to be of my household. You're just going to be one of my children. You're going to have all the blessings and all the privileges and all the rights that one of my children has. But that's what we have with God. We are of His household. We belong to His. Even just to become a citizen of this country, if somebody just came up, you went and took somebody out of Mexico and said, I'm taking you to America. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to prove anything except that you will be loyal to the oath of the United States of America. I'll just bring you in. I'll sacrifice. I'll pay the money. I'll do everything. They would consider that a great blessing. But here God has told us, He sent His Son. He loved us so much, He sent Christ to die. And if you stay in connection with Him and do the things that are in Him, you're a fellow citizen. And you you're of this household. You have all the blessings. It's not like, okay, you're here, but, you know, you're kind of a second-class citizen. We're not going to treat you too well, but we'll claim you, but, and you can be of this household, but you don't have all the privileges and rights. But we do. Okay, the next thing I marked was in verse 21. It says, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into, and I mark a holy temple in the Lord. And then in verse 22, I mark dwelling, and I connected that to be the same blessing. I didn't count, because it says, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Holy Spirit. So I mark those, I mark both of those, but I mark them as the same blessing, that we're the holy temple or the dwelling of where God will live. So, anybody have any questions or comments before we move into chapter 3? Okay. Chapter 3 is where our memory verse is, and I would encourage all of us to learn this because there are people who will tell you, I cannot understand the Bible. The Catholic Church for many years denied their people, they didn't even care if they owned one. They certainly did not encourage them to read it. But Paul tells them about this letter that we are reading, and by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. All of this stuff that's connected with Christ, and it can be made plain. We can understand. And so it's very important that we keep that in our mind and that we know that this is something we can do. Because sometimes I think we're defeated before we ever get started. And I know Deanna hates marking. She hates me for making her do it. And then when she got the Ecclesiastes lesson, I didn't know what Michael was doing, but yet with Deanna, it was all my fault. And I didn't even talk to Michael, so it wasn't my fault. But I think he's a very smart man. But reading and marking is a way. That this is one way to learn what God wants us to do. If this doesn't work for you, you know, nobody's going to stand over you and say, you're going to go to hell if you don't learn to read and mark. That's not the point. To me, this is a very good way, though, to be able to learn and to understand what Paul's insight was. And it's I have to understand it. I've got to know that I can understand it, and I've got to do something, some way. I have got to make myself learn what is being talked about, not only in Ephesians, but in Matthew, through Revelation, in Genesis, through Malachi. I have to come to an understanding. You know, if we don't have some understanding of the Old Testament, I think you can become a Christian without knowing very much about the Old Testament, but to understand the beauty and really all of the richness of all of this, you've got to have some kind of understanding about the Old Testament and the promises for how long Christ was promised that he was going to come and that our salvation had been laid out before the foundation of the world. And it makes us appreciate and come to love God all the more because he knew with this creation that we were going to become unfaithful, that we were going to leave him. And then yet when we go and read the history that he has with the children of Israel and how much he loved them, and over and over and over again he sent prophet after prophet and gave them time and would listen to Moses when he pled for the people. And just the next marking that we're going to look at, or one of the next markings we're going to look at, is God's love. It helps us come to understand God's love and mercy and grace so much better when we have an insight. So we do need to learn to read. And I don't care what you do, you can't learn without reading. Whether you mark or not, you're not going to learn anything if you don't read. So you've got to at least read, whether you learn the marking or not. But you're going to be, I think, richly, your studies are going to be more rich for you if you learn to try to figure out and mark and have some ideas of what he's being talked about. Okay, the next blessing that I marked, there are three actually in verse 6 of chapter 3. Does anybody want to offer a suggestion?
Fellow heirs, fellow members, and fellow partakers.
That's right. Fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise. And all of this, again, we see, is in Christ. And I just put myself a note back to chapter 1 and verse 11, where it talks about our inheritance. I feel like this is not the same thing as our inheritance, but we are fellow heirs. We have an inheritance, and we're fellow heirs. The Gentiles now are is a specific blessing that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members and fellow partakers of this. Yes.
What about it has now been revealed in verse 5?
That could be. Again, that's not one I marked. It is something that has been revealed. But, and I don't know, that the in other generations have not been named. And it goes on to talk about, to be specific. See, to me, it goes back down to say what the specifics are. Thank you, Lane. No. That's great.
I wonder what Sandra was considering was revealed.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, to me, I guess the reason I didn't mark that is because I marked the specifics of what was revealed. That we are heirs, that we are members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise. There's several things that we read through here and are kind of general, but I'm looking for the specific blessings. And so there are several of these.
The Spirit went out and revealed it and everything at this time. But as it talks about the mystery, and you know, his holy prophets, holy apostles and prophets, here we see the Spirit in work, and the promise, of course, was made to Abraham. And even Moses, you know, looked forward to Christ. And so, you know, all down through the ages, like you were talking about before, the prophets prophesied about Christ, and then now it was revealed. I did not mark it as a blessing, but as a working, because you have this mark of the Holy Spirit, it's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what the work of the Holy Spirit is doing, and all the way back, and you know, this part in it, and the sealing, and all of this. I mean, it's wonderful seeing the workings of the Spirit all the way through here.
And,
but you know, the promise in
Christ Jesus, that goes back a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This is as
sign
as 1:9, I think.
1:9. He made known to us the mystery of his will. That could be, we could mark that since we marked that over there. You could mark that because the mystery was made known. I'm just trying to read here. I just picked out the specific blessings of the mystery that had been revealed at this time. So
it eventually did come to us, but it actually came as we did do the marking to me in verse 3. Revelation was made known to me, the mystery, as I wrote. Mm-hmm. It really comes to the apostles.
That's right, but Paul says when you read, you can understand.
It trickles down to us to know, to be able to know.
Okay, and I will say again, there are many other things you can mark. This is something that it's not a science. There, you know, it's not like something you can put in a test tube and it's going to come out the same every time. So I just encourage you to do your reading and mark the things that are going to help you come to better understand and have a better grasp. I do think that chapter 1, verse 3 set the tone. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. And then he went on to list many of, I'm not going to say he's listed every spiritual blessing that we have in the first three chapters. But he's gone on to list many of them. And so that's why I chose the marking of what these are. No, I did not. The next marking I have is in verse 12. In fact, this is the last marking that 1:9. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let me go back and see. No, I did not mark. Yes, I did. I'm sorry. I've got to get these glasses looking in the right. And I think Sandra referred back to that too, didn't you, Sandra? 1:9. Yeah, that was the same thing, Sandra. And that's why I say, you know, you go through here and you read one time and then you're reading in the context. So there again, if you want to mark all of those, that's fine. That's just, that will be in your thing. And you know what? I have one other. We have 24 blessings because I have one that's not on my page that I missed somehow. Chapter 3, verse 12 is the last specific spiritual blessing that we have, that I have listed. And I guess I didn't because I referred it back to 218, where we have access to the Father. But I added this one. To me, it has a little more behind it or something. We not only have access, we have bold and confident. We have boldness and confident access through Christ, through faith in Him. So when I think I think of boldness, I think of Moses. Moses was very bold when he came before the Lord. He was not intimidated at all. And I don't think I could have done what Moses did. You know, the people who are in the Exodus class have heard Steve make the comment that Moses at one point said, "If you're not going to forgive these people, wipe my name out too." And that's something pretty... can you imagine just telling God to wipe your name out of the book of life? Take my name off. If you're not going to forgive so-and-so, take mine out too. Well, I don't know if there's anybody I love that much. I love Stephen, but I don't want to go to hell for him. When we were raising our children, I told them, you know, I'd give my life for you. I'd push you out of the way and step in front of the bus to save you. Or I'll give you my part of my liver, or I'll give you one of my kidneys. You know, I'll give my life for you, but I'm not going to give my soul for you because I want to go to heaven. But if Moses can have that kind of boldness and confidence, we may not say those kind of things to God, but can't we go to Him in faith, through our faith in Christ, can't we go to God with any problem or anything that we have, any worry or any... And praise and glory. Can't we go and give Him praise and glory and thanksgiving with boldness to God? So many times I think we're timid and we're kind of mealy-mouthed when we talk about God. And that's not the way we should be. The only blessing that I have marked past this in the last three chapters is one that I had already marked. It was... Five. Oh, I'm looking at 6-5. It might help if I look at 5. I didn't mark that. I think that's talking to something somebody doesn't have. No immoral or impure person who's an adulterer has an inheritance. You could mark that. But it's saved, and it's probably staring me in the face, but I don't see it. I wrote it down somewhere. But one time, forgiven you, in chapter 4, verse 32, I marked forgiven you, and God in Christ has also forgiven you. And there may be some other things through here that you could mark, but I think what we see is, Lauren, did you have something else?
I was just going to say, verse 30, there's another repeat,
sealed. Sealed, okay. There are several things that could be repeated, but the main focus, what I wanted us to see is how... When you just, if you open the book and start reading through it, where are you going to find the blessings mainly?
1 through 3.
And then before long, we're going to get into the last half and we're going to see what is required of us to keep these blessings, that there's something we have to do. It's nearly a quarter till, and if we start something else, we will not finish anywhere near time. And so that finishes, let me check and be sure, but I think that finishes week 3's marking. Okay. We'll start with that. And I'm going to try, I don't want to keep you from talking or invite your comments. That's not the problem. The problem is I'm going to run out of time. And so I'm sorry if I seem like I'm rushing this, but I do want to try to get through and show you at least how I've marked, and I appreciate your being patient with me. But anyway, we will do that, and go ahead. Now, next week, Deanna is going to teach. And Justin, do you want to pass these out, please? And give me one, and Pat, you can have one if you want one. But Deanna's going to teach. Linda and I, us and the Alderstacks, are going to be out of town for a week, and then the week after that, if I'm correct, it's spring break.
Yes.
And so we will not have class that week. So, well, you can take one if you want it. then after that, we will pick back up with this. So it will be 3 weeks from today, I guess, before I teach again.
There will be no marketing classes.
Not today. You come back to pick.